Storytellers are valuable allies, and their testimony is to be rated high, for they usually know many things between heaven and earth that our academic wisdom does not even dream of. And psychic knowledge, indeed, they are far ahead of us, ordinary people, because they draw from sources that we have not yet made accessible for science. Would that this partisanship of literary workers for the senseful nature of dreams were only more unequivocal. Sharper criticism might object that writers take sides neither for nor against the psychic significance of an isolated dream. They are satisfied to show how the sleeping psyche stirs under the stimuli which have remained active in it as offshoots of waking life. Our interest for the way in which storytellers make use of dreams is not, however, made less intense by this disillusionment. Even if the investigation should teach nothing of the nature of dreams, it may perhaps afford us, from this angle, a little insight into the nature of creative, literary production. Actual dreams are considered to be unrestrained and irregular formations. And now come the free copies of such dreams. But there is much less freedom and arbitrariness in psychic life than we are inclined to believe. Perhaps none at all. What we, laity, call chance resolves itself, to an acknowledged degree, into laws. Also, what we call arbitrariness in psychic life rests on laws only now dimly surmised. Let us see. There are two possible methods for this investigation. One is engrossment with a special case, with the dream creations of one writer in one of his works. The other consists in bringing together and comparing all the examples of the use of dreams which are found in the works of different storytellers. The second way seems to be by far the more effective, perhaps the only justifiable one, for it frees us immediately from the dangers connected with the conception of the writer as an artistic unity. This unity falls to pieces in investigations of widely different writers, among whom we are wont to honor some individually as the most profound connoisseurs of psychic life. Yet these pages will be filled by an investigation of the former kind. It so happened in the group of men who started the idea that someone remembered that the bit of fiction which he had most recently enjoyed contained several dreams which looked at him with familiar expression and invited him to try on them the method of Trame de Tongue. He admitted that the material and setting of the little tale had been partly responsible for the origin of his pleasure, for the story was unfolded in Pompeii and concerned a young archaeologist who had given up interest in life, for that in the remains of the classic past, and now by a remarkable but absolutely correct detour, was brought back to life. During the perusal of this really poetic material, the reader experienced all sorts of feelings of familiarity and concurrence. The tale was Wilhelm Jensen's Gradiva, a little romance designated by its author himself, a Pompeian fancy. In order that my further references may be to familiar material, I must now ask my readers to lay aside this pamphlet and replace it for some time with Gradiva, which first appeared in the book world in 1903. To those who have already read Gradiva, I will recall the content of the story in a short epitome and hope that their memory will of itself restore all the charm of which the story is thereby stripped. A young archaeologist, Norbert Hanold, was discovered at Rome in a collection of antiques, a bas-relief which attracts him so exceptionally that he is delighted to be able to get an excellent plaster cast of it, which he can hang up in his study in a German university city, and study with interest. The relief represents a mature, young girl walking. She has gathered up her voluminous gown slightly, so that her sandaled feet become visible. One foot rests wholly on the ground, the other is raised to follow, and touches the ground only with the tips of the toes, while sole and heel rise almost perpendicularly. The unusual and especially charming walk represented had probably